Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to talk about the Natural Family Planning Week. Dr. Glenn Ritter joins us along with Emily Leadham from the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life. Great conversation. Hope you will stick around for it. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, and Father Darren Schmidt with the Gospel.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them. But I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them and bring them back to their meadow. There they will increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them, so that they need no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they are given him. The Lord, our justice. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Holy Spirit Parish in Mitchell recently held its annual Corpus Christi procession. Deacon Nick Boss incensed the Eucharistic procession while Father John Short carried the monstrance, which contained the Holy Eucharist. Parishioners sang hymns as the group processed around Holy Spirit Church and John Paul II School. The Knights of Columbus from Monsignor Peter Meyer Assembly No. 2045 enjoyed the honor of carrying the canopy covering the Holy Eucharist. You can read and see more about the procession in the July edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, when Reza Guevara first heard about a new program called Pastoral Migratoria coming to the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, Missouri, she wasn't sure she wanted to commit the time. Guevara has been an activist pushing for immigration reform for 14 years, and she's already active in her parish, Sacred Heart, Our Lady of Guadalupe, visiting people in jail and serving as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. She decided to go to an introductory meeting anyway this past January just to see what it was about. When she heard about immigration ministry described in terms of Catholic social teaching, backed up by Scripture, and when she learned about the commitment of immigrants to take the lead in ministering to members of their own community, she was hooked. She didn't miss a single formation session when she was commissioned to begin ministry back in March, she said. She felt the Holy Spirit speaking to her. Guevara was among nearly 30 delegates from 11 dioceses who attended the first pastoral migratoria this past week in Chicago. The immigrant-to-immigrant peer ministry began in the Archdiocese 10 years ago. Leaders now want to create a national network of dioceses that use pastoral migratoria. 11 young musicians from Jerusalem and the West Bank had the opportunity to show U.S. audiences, that music can be a bridge across cultural divides during a brief tour of the Washington-Baltimore area. Performing this week in such distinguished venues at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore and the main church of the Franciscan Monastery of the Holy Land in Washington, the group represented the Franciscan-run Magnificat Institute Jerusalem. One of the students, violinist Maj Narazrari, who is 16, welcomed the opportunity to be part of the group when her teacher invited her to make the U.S. trip after checking with her parents first. "It's like almost a language," Narazrari said, of the music she performs. "You can communicate with others without having to speak. You can express your feeling, your happiness, sadness, anything. Music is special." For many, the Institute is special as well. Narazrari is among more than 220 students at the Institute, which opened back in 1995 to offer young people of any background serious music education and study. Students range in age from 4 to 29. Some graduates have continued into professional careers as teachers and performers. Panama isn't the only country that'll host World Youth Day pilgrims in January. Dioceses in Nicaragua and Costa Rica, the closest neighbors to Panama City, the site of World Youth Day, which is set for January 22nd through the 27th, are preparing to receive up to 30,000 young people as part of the traditional days in the diocese leading to the main event. Father Miguel Adrian Rivera, Executive Secretary of Youth Ministry for the Costa Rican Bishops Conference, said parishes are planning to welcome pilgrims for catechetical and cultural events. In Panama, as a small country, they consider the 8 dioceses of Costa Rica and the 8 dioceses of Nicaragua stops that the young pilgrims can join in preparation for World Youth Day, Father Rivera said. The 8 dioceses of Panama also are participating in days in the diocese. Each diocese has a priest overseeing activities that include finding host families, introducing guests to the community, and providing information about tourist attractions that pilgrims can enjoy. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
You know, it's a really wonderful thing they move that around the world.
It is.
It's a great exposure for the local churches and a great opportunity for the universal church.
Even though we're only in July, it'll be on us in no time.
Yeah, very true. Thanks for the news, Gene. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Emily Leadham and by Deacon Dr. Glenn Ritter. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Glenn, but we're going to get both titles in there now. We're going to talk this morning about National Family Planning Awareness Week, which is actually this week that we are in. And it's an opportunity to talk, Emily, about a topic that sometimes is a little hard to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We're coming up and just trying to raise awareness, educate, and inspire families, singles, kind of everybody across the board, actually, about the benefits of natural family planning or fertility awareness, as it's sometimes called as well.
So we invited Dr. Ritter to join us because I know, Dr. Ritter, you work in this area considerably with families, with those who are seeking kind of alternate ways, if you will, to the cultural approach to family planning.
That's right. I've been doing this ever since Bishop Carlson encouraged me to go get educated.
Well, what really led you to that? I mean, obviously the invitation was important, but why in your practice did you feel like that might be a helpful thing for you to know?
Well, as a Catholic physician, certainly we're educated in natural family planning as Catholics, certainly not as a physician. You're never educated on natural family planning. It's unusual, but you're not. It just happened that the timing when the bishop was approaching me, we were pregnant with our fourth child and thought we had enough children. And in my training, it was always contraception, and we were following the societal norms. And at that point, we thought, well, what should we do now? And it was also about the 25th anniversary of Humani Vitae. So it was kind of interesting because I was digging through the verbiage of Humani Vitae looking for a loophole for myself. And I could not find one. And the bishop was encouraging me to go get trained on the Creighton model, natural family planning. And I very reluctantly went, thinking that I would never be able to fit it in my schedule. And certainly it fit very nicely. Yeah, big surprise.
Yeah.
And within 2 days of looking at the method down in Omaha, I was convicted. I said, I guess I don't need to worry about artificial contraception anymore. I could do the natural method of family planning that has nothing to do with contraception. It's all about life.
Yeah.
And so since then, I've never contracepted anybody in my practice or in my life and my family.
That's remarkable. That's remarkable and quite countercultural. And frankly, one of the reasons why I know Emily wanted to have you a part of this conversation, because Emily, that is not the norm, is it?
Yeah, I think there's a misconception about what natural family planning is. You know, there's often an assumption that it's the rhythm method, mm-hmm. Which was not very effective because women come in all different shapes, sizes, and cycles. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's this increasing awareness just of how much the science is rooted, or how much it's rooted in science. It's rooted in research, and it's really an effective and actually a really healthy way, whether you're a Catholic, Christian, or an atheist, to work towards family planning.
It's you mentioned, Dr. Ritter, the anniversary of Humanae Vitae. You mentioned the 25th. We're actually at the 50th now of Humanae Vitae.
Yeah. Back
this week, I believe, is the formal date.
The week after Easter, we were in Washington, D.C. at a symposium for the 50th anniversary at Catholic University of America. And actually, interestingly, the Catholic University of America is one of the strongest opponents to Humanae Vitae when it came out, when it was written.
My, and how times have changed.
The celebration was on their doorstep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. And it may be a testimony to God's patience with us, huh? And I love
yeah,
your
definitely.
I love your own story, Dr. Ritter, about that. Talk about a little bit, if you would, what that has meant in your medical practice as you have evolved with this understanding.
Well, it was kind of interesting because there's predictions when you go through this training that people will tell you, say, well, you're probably going to lose some of your income, you're going to lose some patients, because they're going to be so much against the natural stuff and want the artificial. And when I got back, I thought, well, I guess I'll just expect a little lower income. And I have never had a more prolific practice than I've had since then. I've had nuclear families. I have still some crisis pregnancies because I'm the medical director of a crisis pregnancy center, but I still have these wonderful nuclear families that are growing and come back to me, and I'm delivering babies that I delivered as a baby. So I'm doing second generation deliveries now. And so I've never had any kind of backlashing from it. I was teaching the method myself over at Avera, so I probably taught about 40 plus couples myself. And I would run into people, my colleagues, and they say, well, what are you doing? I'm carrying my old slide projector and stuff at that time. And I said, okay, well, here it comes. This guy's going to give me grief. And I tell him what I'm doing, and they go, well, that's great. That's interesting. You know, it's kind of the end of the conversation, but I thought, I'm waiting to get lambasted here, and nothing happened. Even my partners that I would talk to, because part of the program, part of the thing was I have to give the presentation to colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I presented it to my partners, and they still contracept, but several of them, non-Catholic contraceptive physicians, would come up and say, I'm glad you're able to do that. That's marvelous.
Yeah.
Now, did they quit contracepting? No. But I didn't take any heat for it. And so it's been surprisingly comfortable.
I'm fascinated by the what appears to be, based on your experience, a real hunger for this, at least on the part of a good number of people. They're looking for this.
Yes. I've also spoken at USD at the medical center, invited by the students, not the administration. And the students in, it was a Christian Medical Association. We're talking to second years second year in medical school is usually when you study pharmacology with all the drugs, of which a lot of them have to do with contraception. And so they wanted me to come and talk about, isn't there anything else but birth control pills? Mm-hmm. And so had a nice visit with them. I did it 2 years in a row. I haven't been invited back since, but I did it 2 years in a row, probably, oh, I suppose it was 10 years ago, and had this great response. And so, yeah, because you're not taught that in medical school. It's such a contraceptive mentality in medical school across the country that, you know, you don't get to any education that's positive about natural family planning. And so it's been a great joy.
Yeah, a great opportunity.
For me and my family. I have my two sons. I have two boys, and then I have two girls. My two sons both use the method. And I have nieces and nephews that will call me out of the blue and ask me about it, which has surprised the heck out of me, too. So, yeah, there does appear to be a thirst. And certainly a large percentage of the population still would say, no, I got to be more sure. I go, you're never sure.
Yeah.
And this is about this is as sure as you can get if you really are trying to follow what your body is telling you.
I think it's so interesting that we, you know, again, because of the and you've alluded to this, the culture that we live in is so focused on contraception using artificial means that it's sometimes hard to have room for the conversation, isn't it, about natural family planning and some of the progress that's been made? I mean, there's been tremendous progress made in this field.
Yeah, and it is, you know, I still talk about it, and I talk about it with all my patients, and you know, I talk about all the benefits. You know, I also talk to all the marriage prep groups that come through the Thursday night program. There's like three or four Thursday nights in a row, and I split one with a young couple now that actually teaches the Creighton Model Natural Family Planning. So I lead it off with kind of a medical standpoint and some of the practicalities, and then they follow it up with actual practicing themselves at this point. And, I mean, you can look at the crowd, and there are sometimes 60 couples there when I'm doing this talk. And you can see a lot of the women sit up straight and go, they're paying attention because they go, wow, this is something different than I've heard before. And so there's a genuine level of respect for women using natural methods of any kind. But the one that I'm the most familiar with is the Creighton Model. I'm familiar with all the different natural family planning methods. And so it's a respect for women. So contraception is not a respect for women. It assumes that women have a problem.
Yeah.
And this brings them, gets them to sit up and take notice of, wow, this is a pretty cool thing I have.
I think that's
and
a...
As,
go ahead.
As Emily said, the women are dynamic. Not only do they come in all shapes and sizes, but they vary from month to month.
Mm-hmm.
And the newer methods, like the Creighton and the even couple-to-couple, the older ones, and the mucus-only methods, like the Marquette method, even the Billings method, will allow for that dynamicism of the female system. So it's kind of cool. Because it turns it from a plague of having periods ever since your first one when you go through puberty, waiting for menopause to happen, to, my gosh, this is a wonderful thing that I have. And I tell women, I go, you know, the main reason your boyfriend, your fiance, your husband is interested in you is because you are a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And this appreciates women and allows them to understand it a lot better than the people that are contracepting.
So Emily, I want to bring you back into the conversation because I think this is a really critical point to talk about. Well, certainly the prophetic nature of Humanae Vitae, which led us to, if you read it and understand it and think about the culture we're in today, and we think about this Me Too moment that we're in, and Dr. Ritter talking about respect for women, boy, this all kind of comes together, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. If you go back and read what Paul VI was saying in Humanae Vitae, I think it's something along the lines, he has four different prophecies, and if you look at all of them, they've come true, but one that's particularly the hashtag MeToo movement that you were talking about, he said something along the lines of, think how easy it will become, or how wide the door will be opened for a misuse mm-hmm. of the feminine, for yeah. for a misuse of the female body, and aggression on the part of the masculine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we've seen that, and that's not necessarily new in the last 40 years since contraception has become mainstream. You know, I think we can look back and see that 100, 200, 300 years ago. But the normalcy of it, the rape culture, the campus hookup culture that we live in, so much of it, I think we can look and point to Paul VI and say, oh my gosh, he named it. He yeah. called it.
Yeah. And there it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this openness to other ways. So the resistance that we find to natural family planning is sort of silly if you really understand it, if you really read it, if you really learn about it.
And I think at the heart of that for so many couples, and Dr. Ritter, you might be able to address this even a little bit more concretely based on your conversations with your patients, but I think there's a fear, you know, kind of like Dr. Ritter said, of I need something more sure, I need something more certain. And in so many ways, our culture is in this instant gratification to fix. Mm-hmm. We take a pill to fix this. We take supplements to make up for what's lacking in our nutrition or our diet. And I think there's a bit of that approach with natural family planning, or with our family planning as well, that we would love an easy fix it. We would love to fix a disease that we don't have.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, changing that mentality to reduce some of the fear, and then to enter into, my body's actually made to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm called to be generous in this, and being generous and entering into creating a family actually makes me more of who I'm supposed to be, and can bring a joy into my life that I didn't know before.
We're talking with Emily Leadham from the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life, and also with Dr. Glenn Ritter, who is a deacon. And Glenn, I just want to ask you a little bit about, did your work in this area at all influence your hearing the call to the diaconate? Did that play into this at all?
Well, I'm sure it did. You know, I had already made the decision long before entering the diaconate to, you know, that I wouldn't contracept anymore. That was like 1996 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just 4 years ago that I entered the diaconate. But it certainly opened my eyes to some of the major life issues and how to defend the good.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like you say, you're just taught. And it was kind of interesting prior to my conversion to natural family planning only, that the physicians don't give the woman the best contraceptive option. Their thought is, we're giving you the contraceptive option that you will complain the least about, because we know you're going to complain about it.
Wow.
And if you're aware of the initial contraceptive hormone that was produced, there wasn't a drug company in the world that wanted to do it. They said, well, you're not fixing anything. There's nothing wrong. You're mm-hmm. actually corrupting a system. And so there was some resistance on part of the pharmaceutical company to produce it. And then somebody did start producing it and realized that you could make millions and millions of dollars, and now we got all kinds of them.
Yeah.
But wow. The original ethical question was, what are we doing? The birth control pill and the contraceptive hormones was the first time in history there's a precedent setter. We're not fixing anything. We're actually corrupting a normal system to move in the direction we want it to move. It's like Adam's sin. I think I got a better plan.
I think that language is really important for people to hear because you just don't hear it talked about in this way very much. But that's really important to hear that what you just said.
We're corrupting a system that naturally is doing what it's supposed to do to go in the direction that we want it to. Yeah, that's
Wow. And it goes directly against the Hippocratic Oath. It used to be very common in medical schools, when you graduated, you recited the Hippocratic Oath. And the main premise of the Hippocratic Oath is, above all, do no harm.
Yeah, absolutely so.
And so this pill does nothing but harm normal systems.
Obviously, this morning we're not getting into the detail of natural family planning, of how it actually, you know, works and so forth. But Emily, I know part of the whole goal is, as we raise awareness, you hope there's people that are going to follow up. And there are ways for them to become educated about what we're talking about.
Yeah, we have some great resources. Number one, on our website, sfcatholic.org/family life. You'll see a little natural family planning link there. We have tons of instructors throughout the Diocese of Sioux Falls in various methods. And I always tell people, if you don't know where to start, give me a call and we'll talk about what's your daily routine look like. Because I think there's a method that works well for different couples, or different methods, excuse me, work well for different couples. And so, yeah, we would love to connect you with those resources. And I'm happy to have the conversation as well. I have women that call me all the time that say, okay, this is my concern. I've got crazy cycles, or I'm up and down, and this is what's going on. I haven't cycled in 3 years, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm happy to have those conversations and point you to really fantastic resources like Dr. Ritter. We have several other physicians throughout the diocese that are trained in natural family planning and are not going to say, okay, let's Band-Aid it with a pill, but rather let's address the underlying issues here. So,
yeah. Dr. Ritter, we only have about a minute left, but I, the one thing we haven't talked about at all, but I want you to at least say a word about it medically, is that NFP also can help you achieve pregnancy. That's an important piece.
Oh, yeah. That's the most fun group to work with. So if they're having issues with any kind of infertility or just timing, whatever it is, the female is so dynamic. If you find out how that dynamicism works, then even if the woman has problems with fertility, it's not that she's infertile all the time, but you can know when she's fertile. Mm-hmm. And only when she is fertile is the couple fertile, and they still achieve pregnancies just fine. We just have to cooperate with what's going on in both the male and the female body, but certainly the dynamic nature is much more significant with the female than with the male.
Well, again, just really important information for people to have, and so much that, unfortunately, we've run out of time this morning. National Family Planning Awareness Week is this week. Follow up some of the items that Emily mentioned to learn more. Dr. Ritter, thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's really helpful to hear about all this.
Thank you very much.
And Emily, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
Gene, despite it being summer, there's still a lot of activities going on.
There is a lot of activity. The Catholic Daughters of the Americas were just here for their national convention in Sioux Falls. And then coming up is the Stewardship Conference.
And I think you can still participate in that. There's a website. Go to the sfcatholic.org website. You can sign up for it there. And it's at St. Michael's. Very accessible, easy to get to, and a great event.
Great deal.
All right. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.